I'm Doug Yamanadi. Oh, I'm really nervous, man. Yeah, it's really nice to see loads of faces I know. Loads of people that have really helped me find a way to live, man. I was dying, you know. The last person I used with, he died 2 months, when I was 2 months clean. And so it's real, you know, it's real to me. And when he died, when I found out he died, I just went, no, it weren't like fucking hell. It was like, yeah, I apologise now for swearing, I'm going to swear. That's what I do. and it was just that's where I was going, you know, and I knew. I'll just tell you a little bit about I won't go into my youth too much. It was just normal. Normal to us. It weren't normal at all. it was normal, but it weren't normal. I went through the thing. I started drinking, puffing, cocaine. Didn't like cocaine when I was 14, 15, I think. But persevered with it because everyone else was doing it, and I wanted to fit in. You know, just the need to fit in. I was one of them kids you hear about. Petrified of everything, didn't feel right when I was a kid, and people was doing it, so I just done it like to be part of, and it never felt right, you know, and that was the first time that I remember going against that instinct, you know, or that consciousness that, you know, this ain't right, and I was going against it, and that happened, that carried on all the way through, you know, just doing it and doing things that I didn't want to be doing, you know, that soul-destroying gear that I look at now, but I didn't know, you know, I just thought I'll do this because I need to fit in. And I've done the cocaine thing, didn't like it. Found these, 1989, fucking beautiful, man. That was it. beautiful. Best year of my life. I think it always will be, I ain't gonna lie. So, yeah. I enjoyed it, man. I lived for the weekend, you know, I lived for the weekend. I was going to a private school at the time. My parents worked hard, they was working class, put me in a private school. And I felt like the odd one out more there, you know. I'd always felt odd, but I just went there. I was like the rough kid there, and there was all mega rich, and my dad was just working class. He worked hard, and that, so I felt weird, even so, you know. I mean, but I'd always felt that anyway. It's just nothing to do with it, really. But and then when I was in the local estate that I hung around with, I felt like the posh kid, so I went out of my way to fucking not let anyone know, you know. And so I was extra violent. I took more drugs than everyone, you know. Things that I felt would make me, no one would find out. That fear of getting found out was just huge, you know. I'm not who I'm portraying. And that continued. And I had no idea I was doing that, you know. I had no idea. It was just the way it was. I was just didn't want it. Just so scared of everything. I got mixed up with a kid. I hid behind a kid. His family were quite a family, and that's how I thought, if I stick with him, no one will find me out, you know, that I'm not this person. And I stuck with him, I hid behind him, and I'd done all the stuff, like, just violence, crime. It was messy, it was fucking, now looking at it, it was petrifying. I was scared all the way through it, but I didn't let no one know, you know. I wanted about to say I'm a bit scared here, boys, you know. I can't be having this fight. It's like, you know what I mean? But I wish I fucking did. You know what I mean? I probably won't be here, but... No, I don't know about it. But, so I hid behind him for a long while, and it was sort of... I felt safe. I look at it now as I sort of made him my higher power, you know. Everything he'd done was it, and I was so, like, protected. When he was 27, I was 26, he died of this illness. He got a habit in prison. We was dead against heroin. He went to prison, come out, he didn't tell me he had an habit, I didn't know. He was a big lump, so he weren't showing, you know what I mean? He had all the outside stuff, so he didn't. And he died, and I found out that he was using heroin the day he died. And it done me. That was my world, you know, my hype about everything. It was like, fuck, I'm going to get found out here. And I went to the pub after the funeral, made it all about me, cried at the funeral, all about me. Like, oh, what am I going to do, you know? And I went to the pub, and I stayed there for about 2 years, from the pub to the cocaine dealer. I spent all the money I had, all that, and it started getting messy quickly without him, you know. The crimes were getting stupid, the thing, it was... And I was on the run for an old bill, and I ended up getting on crack and heroin. And I used to hear people saying they're grateful for that, and I used to think, what are they talking about? Grateful, but... But it brought me to my knees quick, you know, because friends are still in the pub now sniffing and that. Fucking people's granddads in that, 60-year-old, I see them and they're like the same old bollock stories and, oh, fucking hell, I'm sort of glad I ain't there. Yeah, so I came into the room. It was a year after that, when I was 28. I quickly realised, as soon as I took heroin, I knew it was a problem, you know. I don't think anyone takes heroin and thinks, yeah, this is the right way to go, you know. It's like, I just fell into it, you know. It's just, yes, it was there, bang. I think I took the crack and then the heroin was come down, bang. I was off and running. And I got that, again, from the heroin, which I hadn't had for fucking ages, since the E's. And it was like, and it was comforting, you know. Even though I knew it was wrong, when I took it, it was like, that ease and comfort to talk about. It's fucking, and it was nice, you know. And it was like, that was scary. And but another year after, bang, I was in a detox, and I got introduced to Narcotics Anonymous, and the people came in, and they was all healthy, and you know, as we get quickly, you know. And I didn't believe them. I didn't think they was like me. Of course they weren't like me, you know. And they was talking about a spiritual solution and spiritual, and I was thinking, what are you talking about, mate? I've got a fucking drugs problem here, you know. I couldn't marry him up, couldn't fathom out how a spiritual solution was going to help a drugs problem, you know. And so I went again, you know, come out of detox, went again, and then when I hit rock bottom again, I'd go back to the detox. I started, it was easy to get into a detox at the time. I'd just ring them up, bang, tell a few lies in there. And so I used it as like a safety net. And I'd done that continuously. And then a few times I'd go back to the rooms when I knew I was on the floor, back to the rooms. I knew something was happening here. And then I ended up in a rehab in Western Supermare. And I walked into a meeting and there was a power mine there and I thought he was dead. And I thought he was in prison or dead. I hadn't seen him for years. It turned out it was six years clean. I think it was 6 years clean. And I always looked down at him, you know. You know we do, you know, in the gutter looking down at people. And I thought he was worse than me. And he was clean and he was bright. And he was like, and I couldn't believe it. And I used to call him a smackhead, right? He was on the gear a long time before I was. And I used to call him a smackhead. And I walked into this meeting, NA meeting, and he went, Dougie, you smackhead. So I knew something was happening, but with him, no, seriously, he was bright, and I could not believe it. And that's the first time it really, I thought something's happening here, something works. But still couldn't marry up. I thought I was clever, I couldn't marry up. Like, spiritual solution, God. Right? I said, what are you talking about? God ain't in my life, I'm telling you. We've got evidence for that, man. He ain't been with me for a long while. Look at now, I weren't with him, you know, he's always been there. I'm here, man, and we're here, we're all here. He's in all our lives, you know. We've deep down, I believe, we all know that. We've all got something. That's that conscious bit, you know. I was talking about that, you know what I mean, that we go against. But I went in and out again, couldn't understand it. And then the last time, 2.5 years ago, I've got it, just 5 minutes now. I went out again. I came in for a little while, and there's people who was here, reached out to me and really helped me in that. And I came in, and I got that relief again, got a bit of clobber, felt all right again, and then it faded, you know. And I just couldn't deal with it, you know. And I used to get that all the time, 1 month, 2 months, maybe, top whack, 2.5 months, and just go into that, I can't bear it, I can't breathe, you know, that fucking restless, horrible feeling, sit in meetings, start hating everyone. And, that's the truth, you know. It was me, I didn't know. And I went out, and I was going on to the bitter end, as it says in the readings. I thought, that's me. I'm just going to die, see how far I can go. And my mum got ill. My mum got cancer, God bless her. And I was in the hospital, and I see her. She was on morphine. And I looked at her, and I caught her, like, and I got the hump with her. And it's the first time I've been aware, and I caught myself. And you cheeky bastard, you've been out of your nut for 20-odd years, and you're getting the hump with her, she's on morphine for fucking cancer. And it made me try again, you know. And I tried to get into a detox. Again, didn't get into a detox. And I found my brother, who went to me, still going in meetings, but I hadn't been for 3 years. I was fucked. I told him the truth. Went to his house and detoxed. And it was the easiest detox I've ever done. You know, it was the most drugs I've probably been on, most alcohol. And it was just like something coming to me then. And I didn't know it then. But I feel like it was a God moment. You know, something happened. And it was like, it was my turn. And just at the end of my detox, I found a friend who'd been reaching out to me when I'd used and that, sending me spiritual texts, the first part of my using. I was like, you know, I'll piss off. Yeah, we're thinking of you, God's with you, and all that. Oh, fuck off. Yeah, but you know, who did I phone when I come to the end? You know, and I phoned him and I said to him, "Can someone take me through these steps quickly?" It's the only thing I've never tried, and it's because I couldn't work out what it was going to do for me. But I thought it might prop me up long enough to see my mum through. Right? I didn't think it was going to work for me. I didn't think it was going to I'd find a way of stop using, and stay stopped. And so I went to the sponsor, and it's the first time ever. Step one was explained to me properly, you know. I knew that if I took one, I couldn't stop. I felt different to other people. And it was explained to me that we are set up different, and we take one, we're off and running. And the obsession and compulsion, I knew about. But the spiritual side of it, that spiritual emptiness that I used to feel after the couple of months and stuff, that was explained, and I got it straight away this time. It was like, I don't know if I'd heard it before, but it was like, and now I could see, open the doors for a spiritual solution. I knew I was spiritually sick, you know. I just thought I was mental. It was a relief to hear I was spiritually sick and not just a lunatic. And then it opened the doors for me to go through, and then step four that I was petrified for years was massive for me. Massive. The amount of fear that left me, the levels of fear I was working under. I don't know how more people didn't get, well, any people didn't get killed, hopefully. But you know, I was petrified of everything, you know, and I didn't even know it. I buried it so deep. And the thing that I was scared of most was a step four, and it's the most beautiful thing I've ever done. You know, I came away with it, and the resentments, real ones, made up ones, pathetic ones, really sad things, you know. I got to levels of forgiveness that I never was going to get to, you know, and it's beautiful. I came away from it like that, eyes wide open, like doing my step five. It was like, that's why I've been doing what I've been doing, you know. That's what, and then I could go with it, you know. The defects were pointed out, you know. I'm a selfish, self-centred, fucking scared, you know. I didn't know none of this stuff, you know. I knew I was dishonest. It was the first time I'd ever been honest in my life, to tell the truth. Well, for a long, long while, and and thank God I was, you know. I held on to one thing at the end of it. I didn't write it down. He said, "Is that everything, my sponsor?" And I was sitting there like that. I went, "Yeah, it's all there." He's looking at me, "But really?" I went, yeah, it's all there. And he looked down and I went, "Oh, when I write it down, blah." And he was like, he just started laughing. He went, "I've had a few of them." Yeah, I've had a few of them this year. It's like, you know, we're no different. I thought I was special and different, you know. And I weren't. I was just very ill. And really full of fear, and the levels that have dropped off. I'm still scared, you know, but I can deal with it. I made a decision when I've done that I'm never going to stop fear just getting in the way of anything I do in my life ever again. And that is just amazing. That's mad, because it stopped me everything. It was either fear, it was either attack, run, or use. In the end, it was just use, you know, feel fear, use. And it's not like that today. I've got to make an amends to my mum, held her around. She's out of hospital now, she's doing really well. I held her around and said to her mum, like, from my heart, you know, not sorry, mum, let me tell her. Right, from my heart, mum, I fucking love you and I'm sorry, man. She was able to tell me about myself. And tears, we cried and all that. And she told me what song she wanted to play at her funeral. And it was like, she was the first person she told, and it was like, and I've been trying to get her, because she's in bed laid up, I've been trying to get her on an iPad. And she might know it's out of technology, rubbish and all that, right? But anyway, she told me what song it was, and I got it straight on the phone. And she went, "Oh, you like it as well? Oh, you've got it on your phone." I went, "No, that's what they do, mum." She went, "Get me one." So, that's what it's done for me, this program. Beautiful. And I've got loads of friends here. I was sitting on my own. The last bit of my using was sitting on my own, sticking needles in my arms, erring and crack all day long, and it was like really sad and lonely. And today, man, I've got loads and loads of really good friends, really, really good people in my life. I've got my family back in my life, and that's the real gear, you know. What I thought I wanted, Ferrari, beautiful woman, all that, you know, that'll come, I'm saying. Yeah. Oh, gee, thank you.